This dynamic message is brought to you by New Creation Church, San Antonio.
We've all faced failure at some point. We've all dealt with failure in one way or another. We, in actual fact, you may be actually dealing with it now. But then oftentimes I find myself that when I feel like a failure, oftentimes it's self-imposed because of the way that I think I'm measured, whether it's me measuring myself or how I think other people measure me. But then there is times when it's genuine failure because we know, and how do we know that it is genuine failure? Well, it's when we know that it doesn't measure up to the character, the nature, and the standard of God. That, to me, is genuine failure. Everything else, to me, is a try. And, you know, trying is a good thing. We need to keep trying, because if we give up, then we're just going to get into the habit of giving up on everything, right? So we want to keep trying. But anyway, so here is the title of this morning's message. It's coming up on the screen. Failure is never final. Can you say that? Failure is never final. God has set us up to be victorious over failure, especially in Jesus. Think about what happened at the fall. Before Adam and Eve fell, did they feel like a failure, like failures? They didn't. They were perfect, as God intended. Then they disobeyed God and they fell. After the fall, they felt like failures. And that's when sin came in. So sin will always make you feel like a failure. That's why the less we mess with it, the more we won't feel like a failure. The more we mess with it, the more we will feel like a failure. And then if we end up feeling like a failure continuously, we're going to believe and think that we are a failure, and then we are going to fail. It's like a magnet. It attracts failure. So we need to rise above that. But God never intended for us to feel that way or for failure to be victorious and final, right? Romans 8:37 from the New King James. Look at what it says there. This is talking about hardships. Paul just described all the hardships that he was going through. And then this is what he said. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him, that's Jesus, who loved us. It doesn't say we are conquerors. It says we are more than conquerors. What is more than a conqueror? Sometimes we think because we fight a battle, we are more than conquerors. We're not. We are more than conquerors when we actually enjoy the victory that we didn't necessarily get. Someone else got the victory, but we get to enjoy that victory. So that makes us more than conquerors. The typical example that preachers use is that of a boxing professional boxer. So he goes and you know how hard they train for months, years, and he goes and he wins the heavy title, how does it go? The heavyweight title of the world, and he gets, let's just say, $5 million for winning that fight. So is he a conqueror? Because he won the fight. Yes, he is a conqueror. But his wife, who he gives the check to, is more than a conqueror. You get it? So the more than a conqueror is someone who enjoys the victory that someone else got for them, right? And here Paul says, despite everything that I've been going through, we are more than conquerors. In other words, who got the victory? Jesus did. And who gets to enjoy the victory? So we are more than conquerors, right? And look at the basis of us being more than conquerors. It says at the end there, through him, in other words, yes, he got the victory, but what was his victory based on? His love for us. Through him who loved us. In other words, you and I get to enjoy the victory and be more than conquerors because God loves us, because of his love for us. Jesus went and got the victory to make you more than a conqueror because he loves you. We who are parents, how many sacrifices do we make for our children? Lots of sacrifices, don't we? Sometimes we go without. They don't even know that we go without because we want them to have what they want, right? What makes us do that? It's love. It's because we love them. So they get to be more than conquerors and enjoy those spoils because we love them. We give them the victory. So then, if we take that and put it in line with failure, did Jesus get us victory over failure? So can we be more than conquerors over failure? And what was the basis of him giving us victory over failure? His love, right? Watch that same verse from the Passion Translation. Yet even in the midst of all these things, talking about all the troubles, all the opportunities to be a failure, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors, and his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. But notice the emphasis on love. So we are more than conquerors because we are loved. Right? So you are more than a conqueror because you are loved. Right? Do you believe that? So are you a conqueror over failure? Why are you a conqueror over failure? Because Jesus got it for you. And why did Jesus get it for you? Because he loves you. So do you have to work not to be a failure? Do you have to do anything not to be a failure? Can you just be not a failure? Why? Because he loves you. He did it because he loves you, right? So God created us to be victorious. I mean, going back to the Old Testament, we can see this. Look at this in Deuteronomy 28:13. The first part of that verse, it says, the Lord will make you, what does it say? The head, not the tail. If God said that, would you agree with me if I said, God then is the one who will always have the final word in our lives, not failure? If that's the case, then failure is never final in our lives. So no matter what you've done, what people may do to you, what circumstances may do to you, no matter what the enemy throws your way, failure will never be final. Why? Because God created us never to be a failure. Look at what Paul said. See, Paul understood that. Look what he said here in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, the first part of that verse, from the Amplified. But thanks be to God who always, how often? Sometimes. Always means always, right? But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. So God is always going to lead you into victory. On what basis? The basis of Jesus, right? So God doesn't look at your merit, at your performance to give you victory, because it could never be done that way, right? What does he look at? He looks at Jesus, and he looks at what Jesus has done, and he gives you the victory on the basis of Jesus, right? That's why it's always. I love the way the Passion puts that portion. Look at this over here. It says, God always makes his grace, and in the original, by the way, it does talk about grace. God always makes his grace visible in Christ, who includes us as partners of his endless triumph. See? Doesn't that tell you that failure is not final? Right? So victory doesn't come to us because of our doing. Do you see that too? It comes to us because of who we are and what we have in Jesus. God ultimately achieved the victory in Jesus. Therefore, we receive victory. We don't achieve victory. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, the first part of that verse. Love never fails, right? So if love never fails, then failure will never have a final say in your life. So no matter how much we fail in life, God never fails us. We can say that too, right? Why? Because God is love. 1 John 4 verse 8, watch this. Whoever does not love does not know God. Because, what is the last part of that? Well, God is love. And notice, remember it said that love never fails. So God never fails. So if God never fails, do you think He would want us to feel like we're a failure or we fail? No. Look at John 17 verse 23 from the NIV. This is Jesus praying for us, okay? Watch what He says here. He says, He's praying for you and me. He says, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Now watch this part of the prayer. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Right? So question, how does God love you? God loves you the way He loves Jesus. Just like He loves Jesus, God loves you. That is exactly, not close, not like, but it's exactly how God loves you. Because Jesus said right here that you've loved them as you love me. As means exactly the same, right? So that's how God loves you. And love never fails, remember that? So therefore, failure doesn't have the final word in our lives. Because the love He has for us never fails. Love fixes what the world says it cannot fix. Love heals what the medical world cannot heal. I remember when I was 6 years old, I was messing around like all boys do, and I was climbing on this little coffee table that we had, and my mom kept on telling me, son, don't climb on that table. Son, get off that table. Son, stop playing around that table. And I'm thinking, why? It looks fun. It's something to climb. Until I climbed and I slipped and I fell, and I have a scar right here, you can still see it. I went and I got a big cut there. She just stitched it up with one stitch. She was a nurse, as you know, right there and then. She just grabbed her needle and her thing and no numbing, no nothing. Because it was bleeding bad. I thought I was dying at 6 years old because it was bleeding so bad. But she, you know, she kept on telling me not to do it. I kept on doing it and eventually I paid the price for doing it. But, you know, she didn't beat me more after the fact. She didn't go and throw me against the table again or anything like that. The minute she saw me hurting, do you know what she did? She went, she realized she couldn't stop the bleed unless she gave me a stitch. So she gave me a stitch. She patched it up. And when the tragedy was over, guess what she did? She grabbed me, cuddled me, and just nurtured me and helped me cry it out. And learned my lesson, but she just loved me. She just loved me. That's all she did. In actual fact, she says, I don't remember because obviously I did pass out, fell asleep, that is at least. She says, I fell asleep in her arms because it was painful. It was sore. So what the medical world could not heal, love healed. And that's what God will do for you and me because He is love, right? We just need to let Him love us. I mean, love restores what circumstances say cannot be restored. So love provides where life says it can no longer provide. Love never fails. Therefore, failure is never final. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. I mean, this is powerful. In the context that I'm sharing with you, I read this and I thought, wow, that is so true. Watch what it says here. We're familiar with this. It says, and now these three things remain. Faith. Is faith important? Is hope important? Yes. And love. So notice, here he's basically talking about when it's all said and done and all that matters in life, he says there are three things that matter. Right? He says faith, in other words, believing, hope, and love. So can you have a relationship with God or be saved without faith? No. Can you believe without hope? No. And when you have love, take to those, it makes them real, right? So they're important. But look at what it says at the end of that verse. But the greatest of these is love. In other words, you cannot have faith without love. You cannot have hope without love. And you cannot have the combination of the two without love. Love makes them work. And even if you couldn't have them, if you just have love, you've got the greatest thing. Why? Because God is the greatest thing. You see that? So love is the greatest because without it, there is neither faith nor hope, and neither can work. Look at 2 Timothy 1:7. I love this in the context of what we're talking about here. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, look at that real carefully. I've emboldened it so you can see it. Notice, love is sandwiched between power and a sound mind. Why does God put love in between the two? Well, here's the reason why. Because a sound mind without love becomes a conceited mind. Power without love becomes abusive, controlling, and destructive. So it's really love that brings the balance into power and into a sound mind. Amen. That's why love is so important. Look at Ephesians 3 verse 17 from the King James. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in what? In other words, your relationship with God, with the Lord Jesus, needs to be rooted and grounded in love. In other words, He loves me first and foremost. He doesn't sit and judge me. He doesn't sit and think I'm a failure. He loves me. So when love is the root of your life, you will always enjoy good fruit in your life. When love is the ground that you stand on, you will always be steady and unshaken no matter what life brings your way. So what is the point at the end of the day? When people let you down, love will never let you down. When circumstances try and take you down, love will never take you down. When the devil resists you, love will never resist you. Love will always take you up and over. So failure will never be final in your life because God's love is never final in your life. Amen.
We trust that you are blessed by today's message. For more information about our church, our service times and location, or to make a donation to help us spread the gospel of God's love and grace, please visit our website at newcreationchurchsa.com.